My dear heart dwellers, I know that all of you are going through very great difficulties right now, and there's a good reason for this. But just to give you a heads up, the Lord has told us that first there would be a war, then the rapture. Dearest ones, Ezekiel and I are suffering greatly as well, in every possible way. And the Lord wants to encourage us. Time is almost up. Lift up your heads, for behold, your redemption draweth nigh. Listen, my children, the stakes are high in this moment, very, very high. That means we are standing at the gates of eternity for those who do not know God. He needs us to stand fast in the midst of the storm and pray for lost souls who are in great danger of spending their eternity in hell. My blessed ones, you have all been called to walk in the footsteps of Christ, all the way to Calvary and beyond. Your sufferings are throwing millions of lifesavers floating to those who are drowning in the darkness of hatred, war, despair, confusion, and utter abandonment, or so they think. But they have not been abandoned. The Lord is raising up an army of warriors willing to engage the enemy in battle and take the hits in their own lives to save those lost in the darkness. These hits can be painful and offered up to the Lord as if they were fast offerings. They cover things such as vehicle repairs, the flu, rebellious children, unjust laws, all kinds of contradictions in our lives every day. Whenever you encounter obstacles, they can be offered up just as a fast offering can be. God never intended our sufferings to go to waste. He uses everything. Sometimes we suffer because we've opened a door to sin or disobedience. Other times, God allows it for the sake of souls on the brink of the abyss. Many times, Ezekiel has ministered in the Spirit to those who were dying. But only by knowing the Lord intimately can we understand the reason why he allows what we suffer. I find that it is usually half purification and half his need for offerings. I was such a one, lost in darkness, not knowing which end was up, not knowing who to believe, not knowing for certainty what was the truth, until Jesus apprehended me one night and pulled me out of my pit. Yes, he did a wonder in my life and showed to me the difference between all the religions on this earth and himself. I do not say his religion, because he longs for relationship with each of us, and religion is like a mechanical structure with moving parts, rules and regulations, jots and tittles. But relationship is embracing the very creator of the universe. Not a faraway embrace, but a heart-to-heart embrace, where he feels what you feel. He knows your lostness and confusion and has embraced you to wash away all the lies in the matrix of darkness with his tender love, encouragement, and illumination. Once that relationship is established, all the rest can be clarified, and he can bring you into the fullness of the faith. But without that relationship, you are at the mercy of men's opinions. And much has been changed through the centuries, stripping away things the Lord left for us in the church to help us live a sanctified life. But if we seek the truth, and only the truth, without bias, eventually he will establish us in the truth. But without that relationship, We are at the mercy of the opinions of men. And that is very much what heart dwellers are all about, is embracing the Lord's heart totally and allowing Him to set us straight in our thinking. Dear ones, men have agendas. And ever since the Lord created the early church, agendas have been changed by men, and other churches have been begun. The Lord is the only one who began His church in Jerusalem in 33 AD at Pentecost. He established His church. He picked the apostles and their successors coming up through the line all the way to present time. That doesn't mean that the men are perfect. There are always flaws, and the devil has done much damage to the church to bring it down. It is worth serious consideration that Martin Luther established his church in Germany in 1517 with a Protestant Reformation. Many influential persons of that time jumped on the bandwagon with him. But they deleted very important doctrines that Martin Luther did not want deleted. For instance, Luther had a strong devotion to the Mother of Jesus, but others who were not warm to her intercession and her position in heaven took the liberty to remove that, planting instead empty and deceptive arguments against the cloud of witnesses and lumping her in with the selling of indulgences, which was a twisted, corrupt doctrine used to accumulate money. To this day, mainline Christians have no connection with heaven's intercessors, nor do they understand that the Bible was birthed out of the church in 300 AD. That is why they make such frequent statements like, "Well, I only believe in the Bible and what it teaches. I don't need anything else." Well, they're not realizing that the early Christians didn't have a Bible. They lived within the framework of letters and holy traditions passed on by the Holy Ghost and later ratified by the consensus of bishops in 300 AD, creating the canon of the Bible. The point is, Luther founded his church in 1517. John Calvin in France in 1536, William Tyndale, Amy Simple McPherson, John Knox, and on and on and on, founded their churches through the centuries. But Jesus gave birth to His church in 33 AD in Jerusalem. So a lot of reformation has taken place, going from one generation to the next. A lot of changes based on culture and convenience and especially political motivations, political pressures. And these compromises have done a great deal of damage to the integrity of the early church, have had an influence on what the church teaches. Until you arrive here at the modern church that has lost a great deal of the real character of those who walked with Jesus. I think it's a very stark picture of the life that was led by the early Christians. In the film series, The Chosen, you can really see the simplicity of the apostles that Jesus picked. Totally different from the wealthy and highly educated people of today. My search for the Lord was based on getting to the bottom line, the truth. I had seen all kinds of doctrines and spiritual practices, but none were the real truth until Jesus apprehended me. Little did I know that even in the Christian communities, there was a wide divergence of opinion about how the scriptures should be interpreted. That's what led me to what the apostles taught, and how Christianity grew into the very rich faith it is, beginning in 33 AD. And I'm sorry to say, modern Christians bear very little resemblance to first century Christians. even though the Catholic and Orthodox churches retain much of the early church liturgical life. Because remember, they were coming out of the Jewish temple life.